was late, and I really just wanted to go to bed. And I got caught not telling the whole story. Mason had chosen a book that's really good. It's called Ruby's Chinese New Year. And it's a great book, but it's really long. And it's one of those ones that I'm happy to read to him any time of the day, and I do. But at bedtime, it's a really hard story to tell the whole thing. And on page 2 of the story, I tried to skip a really key section. And he said, "No, Dad, you didn't say the part where she stuck it in her pocket and then she took off." And Christine was on the couch and she looked at me and just started laughing. And she goes, "You got busted. You tried to skip parts of the story and you got busted." And Mason goes, "Yeah, Dad, you can't skip the story parts." And I was done. I was just totally busted. And again, I was tired. It was late. I was just trying to move the bedtime routine along and get to bed. But I realized, and I was reflecting on that, that I think that's a lot like life, right? Life is a story, is it not? It really is. And we don't know what's going to come next unless you've lived through the story. But we haven't, right? We're living in the moment. We're living in this story by the grace of God, day by day, moment by moment. I think sometimes we wish we could skip parts, right? But you can't. You just can't. You got to live day by day by faith in the grace of God and live into the story. And I've realized as I reflected on that moment that I think at times, though, we want to skip, or even we do skip from the past, or we try to erase or ignore. And if we do that, what happens is you end up, the story doesn't make sense, right? I mean, Mason knew that I had skipped this really key part of the story. Why? Because it was a key part of the story. Without Ruby taking and sticking that thing in her pocket and then heading off to Grandma's house, the rest of the story doesn't make sense. And he called me on it. He caught me on it. He said, "Dad, you can't just do that. You can't ignore what has happened. You can't just skip over that and try to jump to this other part because it just doesn't make sense." In his little 3-year-old mind, he turned 3 last week, it was like, no, you have to acknowledge that in order to move on to this. And you got to accept all the parts of the story in order for it to make sense, right? You guys tracking with me? And again, I've been realizing, thinking that that's a huge part, again, of our journey of faith as individuals. That's a huge part of our journey as a community of faith, as a people. And so, as we gather here together this morning for the first Sunday of hybrid, I'm so grateful to be here. For those of you at home, I'm grateful that you're joining us there. For those of you that are in the room, I'm grateful you're joining us there. I'm grateful, again, that God has sustained us throughout this journey together. And that today we do get to remember and commemorate something special, an opportunity and a chance to be back in one another's presence, but more importantly, in the presence of God, as a people of God, by the grace of God, to worship, to celebrate, to engage, to enjoy, to love, to worship, to be together, acknowledging, though, that it's not really about our story, it's about His story, and the story that He's invited us to be a part of. Today, as we kick off hybrid service, we're kicking off to a new series in my mind that I'm just calling Remember. As I read through Scripture, and you guys have heard me talk about this, that honestly one of the most often and frequent commands that God gives is the command to do what? It's to remember. From the very beginning of Scripture, there's this invitation and this command from God to His people to remember. Remember who I am, meaning God. Remember what I have done for you. And in light of that, then, remember who you are and remember what I've called you to do because of who I've called you to be, again, because of who I am. So remember. And I think that as we gather and we enter kind of a new phase of this pandemic and this season of life, this part of our story, I think it's really important that we spend time to remember. So over the next few weeks, over the next few months, we're going to do that. And today, I don't know how many of you are aware of it or not, but today is actually a very important Sunday in the overall story that God has called us to live into and invite us to be a part of. This last Thursday, May 13th, was what's called Ascension Sunday. Has anybody ever heard of that? Or it was Ascension Day. And so today is called Ascension Sunday. It's always the Sunday closest to that day. And this week being Ascension, and next week actually is Pentecost, meaning we'll be celebrating 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, I want to take time to do that, and I'm grateful that the calendar kind of coincides that way, that there's actually a specific day today that we're called to stop and remember. that's part of the bigger, grander story again of what God is doing, of who he is and what he has done and is doing in Christ, and how he's invited us to be a part of that, and how, honestly, the ascension needs to be, and Pentecost next week, need to be key and central aspects of the story that we remember, that we acknowledge, that we give time to think about and think deeply about, because if not, honestly, y'all, the rest of the story really just won't make sense. So this morning, I want to open up to the book of Acts, and we're going to look at the first 12 verses. We're going to focus on a handful of them, but yeah, the ascension basically is this. It's a day to stop and remember and consider the meaning and the implications of Jesus ascending back to the right hand of God the Father, the place where he rightly exists, the place where he came from. He lived here for a short time, and where he is back now. And I want to spend time to talk and reflect on, actually, Jesus' final words to his friends, to the disciples, just before this extraordinary event, as recorded by Luke in the book of Acts. And so if you have your Bible, open it up. If not, it should be on the screen, both here and at home. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says this. It says, "In this first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' And so when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.' And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into the heaven as he went, behold, two men stood with them in white robes, and they said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" I appreciate Luke's introduction here, because that very first statement, he says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with bum, 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 bum." And what Luke does there is to say to the people reading and tells them that, look, the story I'm about to tell you is not a self-contained story. It's a story that is a part of a much larger, broader story. Again, he speaks to that truth that life is a story. No season, no year, no day on its own is just, you know, its own thing. But it's part of this much grander, larger, bigger picture and story. And what he says there is what I'm about to share with you. Yeah, it's part of the story, and it's a continuation of the story. And the story that I've been telling you, and the story that I'm going to be speaking about, this being a part of, it's the story of the kingdom of God, who has as its central figure Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and suffered, he says, and then rose again. And all the things that he did, all his words, all his actions, his death, his resurrection, all of it was pointing again to this bigger picture, this larger story, the kingdom of God. And this story again, this account, which I'm about to tell you now, it fits into that. It's part of that. It's a continuation of it. And it's a really key part of it. So that's why I'm telling it to you. So here we go. And so what was that key part? That key part, I want to read again verses 6 through 9, because that's the real key part that he's honing in on, or that he's beginning to get to. It says, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?'" Now, just a pause. There's a lot going on in the world. One of the things going on is a lot going on right in having to do with Jerusalem in Israel, right? Israel, Palestine. I can't speak to it. I'm not knowledgeable to speak to all of it. But even that one conflict, depending on who you ask to tell the story, you get two different stories. And depending on when you start the story, right, it seems like one is the enemy, one is the good guy, whatever. But again, reminds us that nothing that's going on in space, in time, in history is just its own little, you know what I'm saying? It's all a part of a much larger, bigger story that God constantly reminds us, remember. remember the realities of the story. Remember who's the author of the story. Remember the realities of the story. Remember the role that you play in the story. I'll come back here. I digress. Verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. As usual, as Jesus is speaking to the disciples, they have what? They have questions. And they ask him a question here. They said, Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus, again, Luke tells us, and we know this about Jesus, his life was always focused on the kingdom of God, the larger story, the true story, the uninterrupted story. The disciples were focused on what? Just their little part of the story. Jesus, because of your resurrection, which we weren't even anticipating, even though you told us about it, you told us that part of the story, but we weren't fully paying attention. Because you've resurrected now, does this mean you're going to restore power to us, to Israel, to our kingdom? And what does Jesus say to them? I love his answer. He says, he doesn't even really give them a yes or no, but he just says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. In other words, I think he's kind of lovingly saying, don't be preoccupied by things that are too grand for you to know. Don't get fixated on things that are too big for you to understand. See, and I think that's what happens when we take our story or the world story and we just cut it into these like little sections apart from the big story. What happens is we get really myopic or we get really preoccupied with things that are happening just right around here. We put ourselves in the center of the story, and what we do is we start asking God and Jesus questions that really he says to us, you've lost perspective when you're asking that question. We start beginning asking the questions, why God? Why this? Why that? And even, why me? And again, we put ourselves in the center of the story, and Jesus says to them here, don't get preoccupied with those things. Don't let your focus get just caught down here, because you are a part of a much bigger story. And when you remember the bigger story, you lift your eyes and you lift your perspective and you realize that question of, is this about the power of Israel being restored? You realize, no, this is about the kingdom of God. This is, again, about a much bigger story, a much more beautiful story, a much grander story. Again, the story of truth, the story of love, the story of redemption, the story of the world that God himself has written and placed his son, Jesus Christ, at the center of. And he says to them, it's not about the kingdom of Israel, it's about the kingdom of God. And yes, you do have a key part in the story, though. What he says to them is, look, part of the story is that God in his love and in his grace not only gave you me, his son, to come and to suffer and to die and to resurrect, but I'm going to go back to God the Father where I was in the beginning. And as I leave, I'm not leaving you alone, though. A key part of your story from this point on is that you're going to have the Holy Spirit. You're always going to have God with you. See, something that was unique was that when Jesus came, a certain number of people for a certain amount of time in a certain place in our earth had access and could relate to God in a very personal way, right? You follow me? For 3 years or for 33 years, right? In a very specific time in history, in a very specific place, a very specific limited number of people had access to the presence of God in a new and unique way. And that was good for that time, but God says, in my grander story, and what Luke speaks to when he says up in verse 4 that the wait for the promise of the Father. See, the prophets for years had been told and foretold by God, there's going to be a day and there's going to be a time that the whole world is going to have access to relate to me in a personal and intimate way, because I'm going to give my Spirit. I'm going to send the Spirit, and the Spirit is going to indwell humanity. The very Spirit of the living God is going to indwell humanity so that people everywhere, at all times, anytime, can have access to me, be engaged in this relationship of love and of intimacy, and also understand their purpose and their part in the story. You guys tracking with me? What Jesus says to them is that they're going to be his witnesses in the nearest community, Jerusalem, to their region, Judea, and even further, to those they disliked, the Samaritans, Samaria, and beyond that, to those they didn't know and probably didn't have much in common with, those to the ends of the earth. But they were going to be, and they weren't going to be left to do this on their own. They were being invited and given a key part of the story being unfolded and playing out, but they weren't going to have to do it on their own. God was giving them himself again, his Holy Spirit to empower, to indwell them, to go be effective witnesses, so that no matter what was going on in their specific story, they would have an empowerment and a call and a purpose beyond just themselves and their little story to participate in the continuation of the story of redemption, the story of the love of God and his care for his creation and his engagement with it in a personal way to bring about healing and hope and restoration. I don't know about you all, but I need to hear that in this season. Right? I think for 14 months, it's been really easy, you know what I mean? Like for us to think about, and it's not to say that that's done. It's been really easy for us to think about, oh my gosh, how is this impacting me? What's going on for me? What's going on? Why me? All of these things, right? In the midst of it. And I'm not trying to downplay our need for healthy emotions and engagement. No, I taught two cohorts on that, emotionally healthy spirituality. We need to be honest about the pain, the trouble, the struggles, the joys, the sorrows, holistically acknowledging all of that. But when we get so sucked up in it that that's, again, the focus of the story, and we think this is the totality of the story, I think Jesus comes into us and goes, don't get confused about what this story is about and the story you're living and who you are and the role you have to play in it. Because you are a central person. You are a central player in this story because of the grace of God in your life and the empowerment of the Spirit in your life. And no matter what is going on in your life, the Spirit has been given to you to be a storyteller, to be one who partners with God in telling the story of redemption and his goodness and his love. Nothing that has happened in your story in this last 14 months has disqualified you from being a participant in the story of God and his redemptive work in this world. Can you hear me? And church, we need to remember that as we come back together in different ways and as we move forward in different ways. I think that's a key thing God wants us to remember, is the story that is happening and unfolding here at the Ascension, because it's our story. And it's easy for us even, and I think for the disciples, again, I think the part of the reason why they asked their question of, Lord, is this the time that you're now going to restore power to the kingdom of Israel? Is because they thought this was the end of the story. And I think part of what Jesus' answer to them is, this is not the end of the story, and you are a key player in it. I think Jesus is saying to them, the story continues, and you are a part of it. The story continues, and I am a part of it. Missio, can you say that with me? In the room and at home, can we say that together? The story continues, and I am a part of it. Kids, the story continues, and I am a part of it. Grown-ups, the story continues, and I am a part of it. Family, the story continues, and I am a part of it. This is one of the key things, I believe, that God wants us to remember always. God is the author of the story. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Creator. And Colossians says that he was before all things, and in him all things hold together. That he is the image of the invisible God. There's not a slide for this. It's just, I feel compelled to say it. That he is the image of the invisible God, and in him all things were created, and for him all things were created, and in him all things hold together. He, church, it's about him. It's about Jesus. It's his story. And nothing that has happened has changed that. Can you say it with me? The story continues, and I am a part of it. See, I think the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, what he wants to do is steal, kill, and destroy our memory and our engagement and our reality of this is the true story, and to try and steal away and cause us to think that we don't have the Spirit to empower us to live in love and follow Jesus and live in love to the world and share the goodness of who he is and his kingdom story. So here's a question. What story are you living into right now? What story are you living into right now? Are you forgetting the story? Are you trying to skip key parts of the story? Because if so, I'll send my three-year-old to the house and he'll tell you, no, you can't skip that. And I needed to hear that, and I think we all need to hear that sometimes. Church, Jesus Christ is the focus of the story. The story of Jesus and his kingdom continues, and you and I are a key part of it. The empowering, the ascending, the giving of the Holy Spirit speaks to that. If God didn't want us to be key players in his story, he wouldn't have given us his Spirit. But he gave us his Spirit because the story continues, and we are to be key parts of it, partnering with him in redemption. As I was thinking about, just again, the story that Scripture speaks to, creation, fall, redemption, the consummation, all of it, I was thinking about the fact that each part of the story, it reveals the glory of God, who God is, and it fulfills in a unique way a part of God's purpose. But throughout the whole story, here's who I believe we see a picture and a glimpse of who God is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That God the Father is for us. That God the Son is with us. That God the Holy Spirit is in us. And what all of this means and what the New Testament from this place forward pretty much speaks about is that we then are in Christ. These are the key players of the story. God the Father, who is for us. God the Son, right? Emmanuel, who is with us. God the Holy Spirit, who is in us. And you and I, and all those who by grace see and come to know Christ, we are in Christ. And that's your key identity in the story. That you are in Christ. Because of what Jesus has done, because of what Jesus has said, because of what God has done in Christ through the death and resurrection, and then through the ascension and giving his Spirit. I want to give you an invitation for a moment just to pause and to pray. And I'm going to put a little prayer up there, and I want to give you a minute just to pray this in your own words, your own heart. Would you sit for a moment at home again here in the room? Would you just pray this for a minute? I'm going to give you space to do it. Jesus, just as you breathed on your disciples and gave them the gift of Holy Spirit, would you breathe on me again now? In the quiet of this moment, I receive your Holy Spirit. Can we do that together for a moment? And now I want you to think about something. See, because what Jesus did here is he told them that the Holy Spirit was going to be imparted. And then in John, we see that he breathed on them. And Luke speaks to this, and Mark speaks to this, that the Holy Spirit was given in a unique way there with Jesus. And we'll talk about Pentecost next week. But the Spirit was told that it's being given here for really a key reason. Again, continuing the story and allowing us to be a part of it. Us being effective witnesses in the story. And again, Jesus lays it out for them. He says, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. I want you to pause for a second and think about your community. In other words, the mission field that God has placed you in. And I want you to think about the families around you, the family around you. I want you to think about friends. Who are your neighbors? Think about your colleagues, your classmates that you share most of your life with. And here's another prayer I want to invite you to pray with me. I want you to, for a moment, say, Lord, God, I ask you to give me 5 names. People I know who don't know Jesus. 5, kind of arbitrary, but what I was thinking of, there's 5 days in the middle of the week and you're going to engage with them, but would you do that for a moment? Just go, Lord, and if it's not 5, it's okay. But let's pause for a moment and just go, Lord, would you give me a few names of people in my spheres that I know, don't know you yet. And church, here's what I want you to do. with those names, those faces maybe that popped in your mind. I want to challenge us this week to commit to praying for these people every day. Because I believe being effective witnesses and continuing the story of God as we're called to be starts with us praying. We're again remembering the greater story that we're a part of, that it's a story of healing and of redemption, and that we have a key role to play in that, being witnesses, which doesn't just mean speaking, although it does, and doesn't just mean acting, although it does, but also means just having a heart even to pray the truth of the larger story, to pray about us being engaged in and a part of the larger story. Prayer helps us to remember and reminds us. And so those names, those faces, would you commit this week to pray by name specifically for those people and for God to give you a chance to be a part of witnessing to the story in their lives? In whatever way that plays out, yes through words, yes through deeds, yes through being faithful and effective workers and doing the things that you do. And here's the thing. As we prepare to take this truth, this remembering, this reminder of the story and your role in it and empowerment, the gift of the Spirit given to you, I want to leave us with a scripture. Philippians 2, 9 to 11, Paul writes this, and he says, God exalted Jesus, therefore God has highly exalted him, meaning Jesus, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. There's a lot of names talked about in the story, aren't there? But his is the name above every name in any story that you ever read, that you ever live into. So that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Church, this is the story. There's a king, a good king, and his name is Jesus. And he has a kingdom. It's a good kingdom. It's a powerful kingdom. It's a here, now, but not yet, and coming kingdom. And it's a kingdom of compassion. It's a kingdom of healing. It's a kingdom of restoration. And that's the kingdom that by grace you've been invited into covenant relationship and into kingdom representation of this good king. And he's given you his Spirit. He's given you his very self to indwell you, to live in you, to lead and to guide you. To again, remember that the story continues and you are a part of it. So Misty, I'm praying this week that we'll remember the story, that we'll be encouraged by the story, right? What we're living right now, this is not it. Remember the bigger story. Engage in it. Embrace it. Live into it. And remember that the story continues and you are a part of it. Let me say a quick prayer. Kelly's going to come and lead us in worship. Jesus, I thank you for the gift of your life, your death, your resurrection. I thank you for the incredible love demonstrated through your death and through your resurrection. And I thank you for the victory that you won through your resurrection from the tomb. And the power released to us to live a life of faith through your ascension into heaven, through sending your Spirit into our lives. Jesus, this morning we yield to you. We yield our lives to you. Individually, as a community, we yield to you. Holy Spirit, come and fill us. Come and lead us. Come and guide us. Come and empower us to live lives of faith, trusting in the goodness of the Father, trusting in the goodness and the power, the truth of the story he's written. And lead us from this place, God, in your love, in your goodness, in your compassion, to be effective witnesses of you, Jesus. Be tellers of the story with you, Jesus, at the center, so that others might come to know you and live into the truth of the story as well. Our world is hurting and longing for hope, Lord. And we believe your story alone is the story of hope. And so, Lord, help us. Use us. We pray this in Jesus' name.